My dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace are yours this day from God who creates us, from Jesus who redeems us, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life in and among us. Amen. In the summer of 2017, along with millions of other people, I went to see the newest iteration of the Wonder Woman Chronicles. I went to the Eastside Century Theater not expecting there to be a particularly significant life experience ahead of me. I approached it as just a nice evening activity, witnessing the latest summer blockbuster. But during one particular scene, I found myself sitting in the dark theater with silent tears streaming down my face. I am not one to frequently cry during movies, and on the rare occasion when I do, it's usually because it's sad. This time, strangely enough, my tears came during a fight scene. Diana, the protagonist, ventures into the fittingly called No Man's Land on the front lines of World War I. After she has been told no time and time again by men around her. No in terms of entrance into conversations, no in terms of her ideas about what should be done, no, no, no. And then she tears off her everyday disguise to reveal her Wonder Woman self. She steps into battle, facing bullets and violence all on her own, with the men following silently behind her. I hardly knew what hit me until the tears were already falling. And then my friends on the internet helped me understand that I was not the only woman with this response. The LA Times ran a commentary titled, quote, "Why I Cried During the Fight Scenes in Wonder Woman," end quote. The Guardian's similar piece was called, quote, "Did You Weep Watching Wonder Woman? You Weren't Alone," end quote. And a website called Hello Giggles, that famed site, ran a review titled, quote, "Wonder Woman made me bawl hysterically, and that's exactly why you should see it," end quote. In 2017, if you had asked me whether women were capable of being blockbuster superheroes, I would have said yes, of course, without question. But seeing a woman as a blockbuster hero was an entirely different matter. There is immense power in seeing someone who looks like you as the hero. As many of the writers of these blog pieces I mentioned state in various ways, never seeing an unapologetic woman superhero was a deep void I didn't even know was there inside me until the tears were already falling in that dark theater. You might say Wonder Woman is like the Deborah of the Marvel Universe. Deborah, to reference our first reading from the book of Judges, Deborah, the prophet, the one who judges and leads men. Deborah the prophet, the one through whom God works, the one God sends into no man's land. This year in our denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is called in many places the year of 50-40-10. That is, we are celebrating three significant anniversaries this year. The 50th anniversary of the ordination of women, the 40th anniversary of the first ordination of a woman of color, and the 10th anniversary of full inclusion of LGBTQ persons into ministry. These anniversaries are a big deal. They celebrate the occasions when more persons in the body of Christ could see themselves as leaders in the church. The occasions when the leadership of the church became more fully representative of the church itself. I myself grew up seeing lots of women as pastors. My own sister became a pastor more than 10 years before I did. And yet I have heard countless stories from women who did not see other women as pastors and who had those Wonder Woman-type moments when they remember hearing a woman's voice from the pulpit for the very first time, when they recognized the void they didn't know they had inside of them, until suddenly they could see someone like them administering the sacraments and preaching the gospel. I now stand in the footsteps of women who ventured into the ecclesiastical no man's land. I stand in the footsteps of Deborah and Miriam, of Ruth and Naomi, of Mary and Elizabeth and Eunice, and the other women whose stories are told throughout the Bible. I stand in the footsteps of April and Andrea, the first two female bishops in our denomination. I stand in the footsteps of Constanza, our current bishop of the South Dakota Synod. In Bishop Constanza's opening remarks at Synod Day this past Saturday, the bishop said that after her election as bishop, she was frequently told, mostly by men, that she had big shoes to fill. If you don't happen to know, Bishop Constanza's predecessor was a man. In response to those comments, Bishop Constanza said, "I wear my own shoes." And she added that her shoes are more fun. So just as I follow in her footsteps, I also wear my own shoes. During this month of giving thanks, this month of November, we are looking at three different expressions of gratitude: connection, calling, and creation. And this week, our theme is calling. It's especially fitting now to lift up the calling of women and LGBTQ persons, those whose callings were historically not uplifted in our church, those persons who were told to wear different shoes if they wanted to be leaders, or those persons who were told that they could never deign to wear the shoes of authority and leadership in the church as they were. The timing of this calling theme is strangely apt as well, as I tell you about a change in my own call. For those who are ministry partners of Spirit of Joy and happen to have already looked at their emails this weekend, this news is not new. I've accepted a call to serve as the Director of Mission Integration and Senior Pastor for the Good Samaritan Society based here in Sioux Falls. My call with Spirit of Joy will conclude on December 31st. Before I begin my call with the Good Samaritan Society in the middle of January. The past weeks have included heavy discernment and prayer for me and for my family, and the past few days have brought many tears down my face as the reality of sharing this news has set in. Surely those tears would be falling now if you were here with me. This decision has not been easy. Spirit of Joy is an immensely gifted and generous congregation. The prospect of leaving has in many ways broken my heart. And yet, one of Spirit of Joy's many gifts to me has been a consistent emphasis and conversation on the ways God calls each of us in different ways throughout our lives. Sometimes God calls us toward something and away from another. God calls us during times of hardship and times of joy. God calls us when we're prepared for something new and when we're not. And sometimes God surprises us into places where we never imagined our shoes could go. And that is the case for me. In many ways, I admit this is a terrible time for a transition for me and for Spirit of Joy. And yet, as I have learned through your stories too, sometimes the stars don't always perfectly align before we are called into new ventures. And if we have learned anything together about how God works, it's that God shows up even and especially when the stars are not aligned. I have not known how or when to share this news with you in the context of this worship service. In fact, I talked to several colleagues. I did some Facebook crowdsourcing in a clergy group I'm part of. I asked, okay, do I mention my change of call during the sermon at the risk of making the sermon all about me? Do I not mention my change of call in my sermon at the risk of ignoring the elephant in the virtual room? And if I mention all of this, will it be the only thing anyone remembers about the sermon and about the worship service altogether? As you might imagine, I got all sorts of contradictory advice. And so here's where it landed. I mentioned it about two-thirds of the way into the sermon, because I wear my own shoes, which is sort of the point of the Deborah story and the parable of the talents in the Gospel of Matthew. In the parable, the slave who is punished is the one who buries the gift the master gives him. In other words, the slave who does not wear his own shoes for fear of the repercussions. It's a story of calling. It's an invitation to celebrate the gifts of God by sharing those gifts. It's an invitation the prophet Deborah accepted way ahead of her time. As the scholar Sarah Koenig writes in connecting today's story of Deborah and the parable of Matthew, quote, "The gospel lesson for today is the parable of the talents in Matthew, where Jesus warns against burying a gift that God has given. Deborah is an example of someone who seems to put her gifts to work in surprising, creative, and inspiring ways," end quote. And so, my dear siblings in Christ, the good news today is that God is at work in surprising, creative, and inspiring ways through Deborah, through Miriam and April and Andrea and Mary, through you and through me, in the shoes that we wear and no one else's. That is the word that I pray lingers with you today. Use your own gifts to serve God and to serve this world. Wear your own shoes. Lace them up and step into no man's land. And there God will work through you as you are for the sake of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.